It might be a New Year's resolution you're thinking about. This could be the year I'll learn to play the fiddle, or the flute, or at least learn to dance. For inspiration, consider the Sevens, a group of musicians mostly from New England. They've all played with others, but have now come together as a Celtic groove band. And by that, they mean they play for contra dances, play the long versions of Irish polkas and jigs. They also do concert work featuring one voice, Liza Constable, who also plays guitar.
So just play up to the...
The Sevens assembled last week in a studio at Vermont Public Radio to talk with us and to play a bit of music. We asked for some musical introductions, beginning with Sarah Blair, the fiddle player.
Just sort of my thing I always do to wake up my fiddle.
Right. And Stuart, what about your bass?
I kind of do some slides. Kind of some intonation check and just some warm, round tones. I like to do that when I first start to play in the hall.
And Mark Hellenberg, you have how much percussion in front of you there?
Well, I have a hi-hat, a little bitty piccolo snare drum, a djembe, a couple borons and frame drums. I have a bag of shakers and a doombeck. But I never warm up because, you know, drums always bum people out when you bang them.
Well, go ahead and hit a couple of them there for us.
There you go.
And Mark Roberts, you have your banjo?
Yeah, that's right, my handy banjo. And I do sort of like Sarah, I just kind of noodle. A couple little licks.
Now here's the hard one, Liza Constable. What do you, you're the vocalist? What do you do to warm up?
Well, I also play guitar, so I kind of depend on that. I can't sit there and do scales in front of people, and I often don't. I'm not really a trained singer, but. I have a cold now, so I did start out today doing a lot of humming. So something like that.
That's pretty. What is that?
That's a Gillian Welch tune called Barroom Girls.
Oh, Barroom Girls from Gillian Welch.
Yeah.
Yes, the young sort of retro country singer.
Yeah, she writes songs that seem as if they've been here forever.
Well, when all of you finally get into a room before a dance, before a performance, and tune up and catch up and do a bit of gossiping, and you play something for dancing or just to warm up, what would it be?
Probably some old reel.
Yeah.
Well, play some old reel there.
Well, you want to play just any?
Let's play Jimmy's tune. We were playing that last night.
Yeah, let's play that.
This is a tune called Minnie Young's that a good friend of Mark's and mine from Rhode Island named Jimmy Devine wrote.
There you go.
Yeah.
When in the evening does the magic really begin to work for the musicians? When do you know it's really working and it's going to be just fine for you? And when does that moment come? And is it different for different members of the band?
Well, probably when the people first go woo. One of the things that the playing a contra dance, sometimes when you're really in sync, all of a sudden the audience will let out a shriek. And I think that's a moment that that I can relax and feel like we're doing a good job.
You know it's bad if you look at your watch in the first half hour.
Uh-huh.
And you go, oh, this is going to be a long night.
And you know it's good when Stuart is hopping up and down.
Yes, when Stuart hops, that's a good thing.
And then when that's happening, my hair is standing on end.
The other thing, like, I always notice, like, we're watching the dance. The dances are done in long lines that lead, like, away from the stage often. And so if we're looking down these long lines of dancers, and when they start to all move like as one kind of unit, you know.
Yeah, a couple hundred people in sync.
In sync with us, then it's like, then you know they're like really picking up on what you're sending out to them.
Yeah, they just move out there kind of like the ocean.
Is there a one paragraph definition of contra dancing?
This traditional social dance of New England done in couples that are in long lines, and they have repeating figures, and half the couples are advancing up the line and half the couples are going down the line. So each couple dances with every other couple.
And are they holding hands? The couples?
Some of the time.
Yeah.
Right. And the term contra comes from where?
It's two lines opposing one another.
From the French.
One line contra another line.
Ah. So I finally understand that.
Yes, it's not country dancing.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with Sandinistas either.
That has been a problem.
That has been. I'm not going to a contra dance. I'm not supporting the contras.
The title of your CD, The Sevens, is Celtic Groove Brand. And the groove kind of suggests that it's sort of a rave during these evenings, during these dances. What's the longest tune you would play?
Ooh, what do you think, guys?
10?
Like 10 minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, for dancing, you play as long until the caller tells
until
you to stop.
Caller, but usually
if
the longest.
If it's a concert, then it wouldn't be that long.
Yeah. But in a contra dance, you might, the longest you would play is 12 minutes.
Yeah, it's a good long jam.
It's plenty of time to really, like, develop some, like, we just call it a groove.
That's right, because you play the tunes again and again and again, and so it's you find yourself looking for new things to do with it.
You mean you play the melody again over and over, keep returning to it?
Often we do three tunes in one for one dance, and each tune we might play, I don't know, 10 times or many, many times. You wouldn't want to count them, how many times we do it.
Does it ever happen that it doesn't work, that you're just having a bad, I'm talking individually now, that you would be having a bad night? Maybe you would be the only one who would notice it, and you say, well, you know, I really should have gone into political science or something like that.
That happens when you get your check at the end of the night.
Well, let me ask you to do a vocal now. Liza Constable does the vocals. How about the song I Truly Understand? This goes way back. You mentioned Bruce Molsky, who's an old-time singer and song collector, and he probably got it from somebody a long time ago.
Yeah. When I heard him play that, that's when I really, really fell in love with that tune, and I had been looking for a way to do it, but I couldn't do it any better than Bruce. So I had kind of given up on that. When he did it, he tuned his fiddle down, I think, and he sang with it, and it's really a lovely, lovely version. And so we were looking for ways of mixing the Celtic tunes with an American song. And I said, hey, I love this one. Let's try this. And it just kind of fell right into place.
One, two. Flattering tongue.
down, then your heart can no longer be mine. Truly understand that you love another man, then your heart can no longer be mine. Well, who's gonna shoe your pretty little foot? Who's gonna glove your hand? Who's gonna kiss your ruby red lips? Now I'm in a foreign land, love. Now I'm in a foreign land. What no one says, be the hair black or brown, rather be on the top some hill with the rain pouring down, with the rain pouring down. I truly understand that you love another man, and your heart can no longer be mine. I truly understand that you love another man. Your heart can no longer be mine. I wish to God I'd never been born. Died when I was young. Never seen your two blue eyes. Heard your flattering tongue, love. Heard your flattering tongue.
Often I change songs to fit me, and I know there's a lot of traditionalists out there who say, well, you know, you can't change it because it should be the way it is, but I have to change songs to so they can be mine.
Liza, do you ever think about the woman who's actually singing that song or the one who sang it the first time?
Well, you know what I think about is that the gender's kind of reversed, and so I don't really know whether that came from a man or a woman. But do I ever think about the original person?
Yeah, you know. Somebody who indeed was wronged.
Yeah. I heard your flattering tongue. That has a real sort of English old ballad kind of sound to it.
When one of you hears a song and thinks about a song and wants to bring it to the others, how do you know when a song is going to be right, though? What are you looking for?
It's like a sense that it's, we were talking about it last night because we were playing, we were just sitting around Sarah's kitchen table playing tunes, and we were playing this song, and we hadn't played it enough to make it sort of ours.
Yeah.
Even though we're working on trying to, you know, develop it. It's really hard to know. It's just like a feeling you get.
For me, I when I find a song that suits me, it's got to, I have to be able to kind of step inside the song and sing it from somewhere else.
So you have to have a song that you can sort of climb into.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
This might be a good time. There's a song that you do called a Cole Porter song, Miss Otis Regrets, which in a way sounds like an Appalachian ballad.
Yeah, it has some misery in it, and we tend to migrate towards those kind of songs.
And death. There's death in it.
Yeah, that's always a good one for us.
And guns.
There's a hanging.
Yeah, I was really fascinated with that song. I heard a version from
The Pogues.
The Pogues.
The Pogues did with a singer. The lyric is so bizarre and kind of tongue in cheek. And then I was thinking, I wonder if you just approached it in a different, you know, like just played it with a banjo and would it sound like a mountain ballad or.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we're all set. Anytime you want to start.
Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. sorry to be delayed, but last night down on Lover's Lane she strayed. Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. When she woke up and found that her dream of love was gone, madam, she ran to the man who had led her so far astray. And from under her velvet gown, she drew a gun and shot her lover down. Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. When the mob came and got her and dragged her from the jail, madam, they strung her upon the old willow across the way. And she died, she lifted up her lovely head and cried, madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today.
Very, very pretty.
Thank you.
Is it sad?
Very sad. I find it sad. Yeah. And it takes a lot of focus to sing it. It's a lot of long notes, which kind of lends to the feeling of it, I think.
You know, but the Cole Porter version, when you hear like Ella sing it, it sounds kind of tongue-in-cheek.
It's so tongue-in-cheek, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Campy sounding.
Right.
But this is a dirge, you know, with the with the drum beating in the background.
And the banjo is like, I mean, it's funny because people think of the banjo like when you hear like a bluegrass style banjo, you know, finger picked, very kind of a bright sound. It's actually a really, really dark instrument, I think.
It's a depressing instrument.
it just has a kind of a dark quality, I think.
I agree.
Misconstrued in popular culture, but.
What does the year 2000, I won't ask you about a New Year's resolution, but I will ask you about a New Year's ambition. What do you hope to have happen this year?
Well, we are going to record again.
Yeah, we want to get another CD out this year.
So that's, you know, that's a big step.
Yeah.
So we have to get a repertoire together of tunes that we want to put on. And in the process of picking material, it's kind of a lengthy one. I mean, you asked about what goes through our minds, but we have to sort of, it has to be somewhat democratic. I mean, we do have to all relate to the material that we're doing.
What else? Do you hope to play just the biggest contra dance in New England sometime this year?
We do.
We already do.
Right?
We love to play at folk festivals, so
yeah.
We would love to do some big festivals this summer.
Well, let me say thank you and goodbye and ask you to play something along those lines. And I'll say thanks to Stuart Guinea, who's playing bass.
Okay, goodbye, Noah. It's been fun to be here today.
Sarah Blair with fiddle.
Thanks, Noah.
Mark Roberts, banjo and whistle and flute.
Thanks a lot. It's been really fun.
And Mark Ellenberg, percussion, all the way from Athens, Ohio.
Thanks.
And Liza Constable, singing and playing guitar.
Thanks, Noah.
Have a great year.
You too.
Thanks.
This is a traditional Irish reel called the Boyne Hunt that we've sort of done a number on.
The musicians known collectively as The Sevens. They have a CD called Celtic Groove Brand. They joined us from Vermont Public Radio in Colchester. The session was recorded by Sam Sanders and produced by Kay Maddox. Our technical director is Preston Brown, with audio engineers Mark Greenhouse, Stu Rushfield, Peter Elena, Sean Campbell, Josh Rogerson, Mitch Eaton, April Oster, and Ian Honeyman. The production staff includes Matt Martinez, Franklin Cater, Rhonda Ray, and Lisa Harmon. At the Foreign Desk, Doug Roberts. At the National Desk, David Sweeney. I'm Noah Adams. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.